Well, good morning, everyone. We are so glad that you are joining us here this morning. And just want to just share a word of thank you for all of you who are joining us online, whether it's through Facebook or Vimeo or YouTube. We are glad that you're here. As we get started here, just want to take just a brief moment to take a deep breath. I think I need just a little bit of space to take a little bit of a breath here. So invite you to close your eyes with me as we just breathe deeply. We breathe in the Word of God, and we pray that, God, the things that come out of my mouth are honoring and pleasing to your kingdom. Amen. A number of years back, there was a movie that came out called Bruce Almighty. It's an absolutely awesome movie. And there's a scene where Bruce Almighty, or Bruce, was played by Jim Carrey. And he had just had the worst day of his life. I mean, he lost his job. He got beat up by a gang. He had a big fight with his girlfriend. And while he was trying to pray the rosary, he wrecked his car. I mean, and he threw the rosary into Lake Erie, and he said, "Fine, the gloves are off, pal. Let me see a little wrath. I mean, smite me, oh mighty smiter. I mean, you're the one who should be fired, and the only one around here that's not doing his job is you." When things don't seem to go the way that we want them, it's normal to get angry. It's normal to be frustrated. I mean, don't we all have bad days where we feel like we're kind of blowing our stack? Don't we all have moments in which we say, "Why, God, why?" And I mean, don't we all have times when we cry aloud to God and we pray hoping for an immediate response, hoping that God will come and save the day? I mean, we struggle with this prayer that says, "In your time, God." Or more often than not, while we say that, we're thinking, "Wow, God, it would be really great right now if it would happen at this moment." You know, I admit that I struggle when things are not done on my time or when they're not done the way that I want it. I'm very clear. I understand that about myself. And I remember when I was younger, one of my faith mentors would pray when things were tough in her life. And this is what she would say. She would say, "Thank you, God, for everything. This is your world. You have the right to do whatever you want to do. You give and you take away. May your will be done." What? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I would remember thinking, this person's crazy, right? I mean, the kind of person that says, "Thank you so much. Can I have some more of that wrath? Can I have some more of that struggle," right? And now while I don't have the patience of that person, and while I thought at the time that she was crazy of what she said, the cool thing about all of this is that while she didn't know, have any idea of all of the difficult things in her life and why they were happening to her, she decided to trust God and to pray. And then she had the patience to wait for an answer. What faith in a big God. You know, the scripture today discusses this idea of patience and life's ups and downs, as well as trusting that God will answer our calls and our cries, and not in our time, but in His. You know, if you're like anyone else that has ever lived at any time of the face of the earth, right, I'm sure you've had moments when you've just prayed about something only to wait. I mean, waiting days or waiting weeks or perhaps waiting years for the answer to your prayers. And I believe that this is something that the Jewish people had done for centuries, waiting for this promised Messiah. I mean, I suppose this is one of life's most difficult realities. You pray for the things that you think you need in your time, the resources, the patience, and the joy, and the hope in your life. However, the answer doesn't come. How about when you're living in the midst of all that's going on in a crazy time like this? In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of losing a job, in the midst of life's up and downs, and you pray for help, and there's nothing. We expect things to go fast, don't we? Fast food, instant food, fast cash, a quick fix. I mean, we expect that in our spirituality, too. Rather than pray and wait, you know, our life's motto seems to be pray and work. Or in the case of some, if we're really candid, it's pray and wine, right? I mean, we often lag when we don't get this immediate response from God. We see it as a sign of God either not listening or God not caring. And this, my dear friends, is most definitely not the case. I mean, if you look at Daniel chapter 10, where we find this great example of delayed answer to prayer. Daniel, whose name is God is my judge, was a statesman in the court of the Babylonian kings. And he was taken captive there by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar in 605. And he spent the rest of his long life there as a governmental official and as a prophet of God. See, Daniel had visions about the end of the world as we know it. I want to sing that song. It's the end of the world as we know it. Right, and so these dreams that Daniel was having, they were disturbing. And Daniel was not only concerned about them, but he was also concerned about the spiritual well-being of the people that he was with. And as is often the case with visions, they're not easily or readily understood. And so therefore, Daniel began to fast, and he began to pray to the Lord regarding the significance of these visions. And eventually, God sent an angel to David. But there was a waiting period between Daniel's prayer and the answer. And the passage tells us that it was 21 long days. So the angel of the Lord came to him, and during this time of waiting for an answer, and Daniel shared these words, a hand touched me. This is what it says in Daniel chapter 10. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm going to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling, and he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, your words were healed, and I have come in response to them. Your words were heard, and I, the angel, have come in response to them. You know, I'm sure after 21 days of prayer and fasting that Daniel was wondering where God was. So during Daniel asking, he needed to wait, to be patient, and to trust that God was going to be there. And I can tell you certainly, friends, that God not only hears us, God helps us. I mean, if you look at Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, it says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry, and he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I mean, many will see it and fear, but I shall trust in the Lord. I mean, not only does God hear, friends, God acts. When we pray, we can anticipate him listening to us and outstretching out his arm to help deliver us and encourage us and support us. Like Daniel, it might not be the right way that we think should happen, but it will happen and we will get an answer. My friends, while he answers might be delayed on our timing, God's help is always definite on his. But even with the belief that we know in our head that God will always show up, I'm still amazed at the patience that Daniel had. He really needed an immediate answer, right? I mean, things were so tough, but he knew that God was going to come at some point. Friends, we need to be patient while waiting for an answer for our prayers. I mean, Jesus may ride into Jerusalem today, but how he came was not what the Jewish people were thinking about when the Messiah would enter. See, they knew that the Messiah would come and save them, but when Jesus came that day, he didn't come to fight against people. He came to fight against sin and death in order to save the world. You see, the Jewish people, they were ready to go, man. I mean, they were ready to fight. They had been praying, and yet here was Jesus coming in the most unexpected way. So they needed to have continued patience, perhaps maybe just for another week, before they saw the power of God at work. Friends, if anybody was patient, it was those in Jesus' day. They were waiting so many centuries, so long, and they continued to hope. See, if I'm candid today, we're an impatient bunch. And patience is a lost virtue. And I find it so funny how we react to things that are not quick enough for us. We've lost our ability to endure and to be patient and to persevere. We can no longer wait in lines at the supermarket, so we created self-checkouts, right? We no longer write letters. They're a thing of the past. We now send e-cards online to one another. We get upset when it takes too long for a person to make change at a toll booth, so we invented Easy Pass. I mean, friends, I believe we are forgetting the blessing of patience and endurance and perseverance in times of struggle. We get so tied up in the things needing to go faster to move on to the next thing that we forget the blessing of taking our time, listening attentively, and responding with intentionality. We are missing the blessing of being patient, and thus we miss the blessings of what would result of being patient. You know, many years ago, there was a 10-year-old boy that walked up to a counter of a soda shop and climbed onto a stool. And he caught the eye of the waitress, and he asked, "How much is it for an ice cream sundae?" And 50 cents, the waitress replied, and the boy reached into his pocket, and he kind of pulled out some change, and he began counting, and the waitress was frowning impatiently, and after all, she had other customers that she needed to wait on, and the boy kind of counted, and he kind of spun it up at the waitress, and he said, "How much for just a dish of plain ice cream?" And the waitress kind of sighed, and she just kind of rolled her eyes, and she's like, 35 cents, and she said with this kind of note of irritation in her voice. Again, the boy counted the coins again, and at last he said, "I'll have the plain ice cream, please." And he put a quarter and two nickels on the counter, and the waitress took the coins and brought him the ice cream and walked away. About 10 minutes later, she returned and she found the ice cream dish empty, of course, right? Like any good person would do. They would never leave ice cream in the dish. I mean, that's just horrible news. And she found out the boy was gone, and she picked up the empty dish to put it away, and then she swallowed hard, because on the counter next to the wet spot where the dish had been, there were two nickels and five pennies. See, the boy did have enough for this ice cream sundae, but he ordered a plain ice cream so that he could leave a tip. Now, we're so quick to get angry, aren't we? We're so quick to get upset, and we're so quick to get frustrated at the little things in life that we forget that there are tremendous blessings that come along with just waiting on our big God. That the lady in this story and us, we don't know the whole plan of God. We just don't. We can't see the blessings at the end of our frustrations, or the end of our waiting, or the joy that's in the end of our endurance. Friends, it's tough to wait. It's difficult to understand. It's tough not to receive an answer to our prayers as quickly as we want them. Time and time again, we are told to wait on the Lord. I mean, that in doing so will renew our strength. Time and time again, we are told that things will happen in God's time, right? In God's way. And we need to heed those words when we don't see how quickly God is answering our prayer, or how quickly we think he should be answering our prayer. Friends, the answer will come, and I assure you that. I promise you that, because that's what God promises. Because while we may not get what we want when we want it, God is still in control, and he will give us what we need when he thinks we need it. See, God is always there, even in the midst of our discernments, even in the midst of our smallest tasks. God wants to draw us close to himself, and he wants us to cry out for help when we seem to be at wit's end. God wants to be involved. You see, friend, God is here right now in this room. God is right in the space that you are watching this right now. God wants you to realize that he has control and desire over your life and your work and your relationships and your finances and your dreams. See, God wants you. God wants to help you. He wants to support you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to deepen you to be more like him. Not long before his death, one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys. And he writes about some of his friends who were trapeze artists. They were called the Flying Rudellas. Isn't that a great name? That's like a Flying Rudellas, trapeze artists. And they told Nouwen that there's a special relationship between a flyer and the catcher on the trapeze. See, the flyer is the one that needs to let go. And the catcher is the one that, guess what? Catches. That's really, yeah, really easy, right? And so as the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, there's a moment that comes when he or she must let go. And so they arch into the air, and his job is to remain perfectly still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him out of the air. One of the Flying Rudellas told Nouwen, a flyer must never try and catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. So I believe while it's difficult, very difficult to wait in the difficult times of life, we must realize that God is always there to catch us, to be in control when we are out of control, to trust in God's power, to give him complete control over our lives and have the patience that he will, in fact, catch us is essential to our ongoing discipleship in Jesus. So friends, where are you feeling lost this morning? Where are you feeling out of control, or where are you feeling frustrated this morning? See, you don't have to be, friends. See, God sent his son Jesus to free us from the bondage of our sins and the control that they have over our lives. He sent Jesus to free us from the control that the world might have over us. It was a gift that we didn't deserve. However, when we accept this gift, friends, and we turn our hearts away from needing to be in control of everything to giving God our spirits to mold us as he will, wonderful and powerful things will happen. Friends, God is just one step away from helping us gain control over our lives. He is one step away from helping us from the sinking water. And all we need to do is stop and give God the keys to our hearts. We just need to keep praying that God's will be done and then have the patience to let him do what he needs to do and not feel like we have to be always the one in control. God can be the one in control of our lives if we let him. God is in control. There's nothing that escapes him, nothing that eludes him, and nothing that stumps him. Sometimes, friends, when we feel like we're having a bad day, it feels like everything's out of control and we're just powerless, and it's easy to forget that God has the power to do whatever God wants and whatever he wants to do, and God can do all things in his time. And if you're honestly praying and you honestly trust God's timing and God's power, then if your prayers are not being answered right away, there may be something else in store for you. Almighty, all-powerful God, when invited to the center of your life, will do tremendous things, but we need to trust his power. So no matter what your circumstances are, God's overall plan in your life cannot be messed up if you give him control, if you have patience, and if you trust in the power and authority he brings to your life, and that is in his timing. All things work for good, but we need to trust and we need to call upon his power. There's a little boy who was spending his Saturday morning playing in his sandbox. And he had with him a box of cars and trucks and his plastic pail and a shiny red plastic shovel. And in the process of creating roads and tunnels and soft sand, he discovered a large rock in the middle of the sandbox. And the boy kind of dug around the rock, and he managed to kind of dislodge it from the dirt. And with no little bit of struggle, he managed to push and nudge the rock across the sandbox by using his feet. I mean, this was a small boy and a really large rock, right? And when the boy got to the rock to the edge of the sandbox, however, he found that he couldn't roll it up over the little wall. I mean, determined, the little boy shoved and pushed and pried, and every time he thought it would make some progress, the rock kind of tipped back and fell back into the sandbox. The little boy grunted, and he struggled, and he pushed, and he shoved, but his only reward was to have the rock roll back, smashing his chubby little fingers. And finally, he just burst into tears, I mean, with frustration. How many of us felt this before? Trying to get this rock over this wall, and we just burst into tears. We're just at our wits' end. And all this time, the boy's father was kind of watching from the living room window as this kind of drama was unfolding in the sandbox. And at the moment of tears, this big crocodile tears fell a large shadow across the sandbox, and it was the boy's father, and he kind of gently said to him, "Hey, son, why don't you use the strength kind of that you had available?" And the boy just sobbed back, "But Dad, I did. I used all the strength that I had." And Dad said, no, listen, see, you didn't use all the strength that you had because you didn't ask me." And with that, the father kind of reached down and he picked up the rock and he removed it from the sandbox. Friends, you just feel you're just constantly trying to push this boulder out of your life. that you're constantly trying to rely on your own power to get this stuff out of your sandbox? Are you relying on your stuff rather than relying on what God can do in your life? Brothers and sisters, God is powerful, but don't believe it just because I say it. Believe it because of the lives that he has transformed, including me and countless others. God has taken addicts and transformed them. God has taken the hopeless and given them hope. He has taken the weak and made them strong. I mean, who says God isn't powerful, that God can't perform miracles, that God doesn't answer prayer? No one. I can't. I've seen countless times, time and time again, and I can show you all of and tell you all of the powerful and mighty miracles of our wonderful, powerful God. There's a children's song that I absolutely love. It says, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." But it's in his time, right? It's in his way. And so in the midst of our dark places, in the lowest points of our lives, God reached down with all of his power, with all of his love, and with all of his grace, and decided that we are no longer to live in the depths of despair, that we were no longer going to be consumed by grief and hopelessness. And he pulls us up and he brushes us off and he gives us hope through the cross, through Jesus. See, God is powerful, and like the verse from Ecclesiastes shared, God will make all things beautiful in his time. When things occur here on earth, God isn't up in heaven saying, "Oh my, myself. I can't believe that that just happened. I never expected that. I mean, all of my plans for the universe have been ruined." No! All the good things in your life, all the bad things in life, all the challenging things, friends, will be used for God's glory and honor and praise. All things will be made beautiful in his time. All things, just all things. But friends, we need to wait and be patient that God may not answer our prayers right away. It may not be the right time for us to hear that answer. What we need to do is continue to turn to God in our lives, and we need to recognize that God is all powerful and that he can, while we sink in the muck and mire of life, that he will reach down and pick us up and dust us off so that we might celebrate the goodness of him who gives us life and gives it in abundance. And he can do this, friends, because my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for me and for you. Let's pray together. Holy and wonderful God, it is in your hope, it is in your peace, it is in who you are and who you call us to be, that you are all powerful, and that you are holy, and that you are just. God, be with us right now as we continue to walk through this week, as we continue to understand what it means on Palm Sunday to welcome your son Jesus, not as what we thought he might have come as, a conquering military person, but he came as a savior to redeem us to you. God, may we, as we walk through this week, focus in on Maundy Thursday as we come around the table and we participate in Love Feast together. God, help us to remember Good Friday when your son Jesus went to the cross for us and he died for us and he died for our sins, Lord God. Remember, help us to remember on Saturday when everybody was in their homes and they just were wondering what is going on, what is happening next. And God, on Sunday, when we celebrate the risen King, I still think about all of those people who are in their homes, just waiting to see what you are going to do and to hear Mary come and proclaim that you have risen, God. And that's what you did. You rose from the grave and conquered sin and death. And it was all because you loved us so much. God, may this week be one that fills our heart with joy and with love and with a tremendous amount of peace. Even in the midst of the struggles, even in the midst of the waiting time that we find ourselves in. God, walk with us, empower us, and encourage us to live lives worthy of the calling that you have for us as your disciples. For we pray all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.